Hey guys, Adam here from My Neighbors Are Dead, and I'm sitting with our producer, Nate DeFort.
Hey everybody. So you may already know that we have a Patreon page, but what you may not know is by donating a small amount, you can get all kinds of swag, behind the scenes footage, and way more from checking us out.
We really love doing this show, and your support means the world to us, and it makes it so much easier for us to do that. We have a bunch of cool stuff, like Nate said, that we want to get to you. You can check us out at patreon.com/mynaneighborsaredead.
Or for more information, go to mynaneighborsaredead.com.
Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror. Freddy, Jason, the Succubus. But who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tale. Now, for most people, summertime usually means time off from school, playing with friends, and maybe a part-time job. Thankfully, most people do not have to worry about keeping out of the way of international drug gangs or interstellar big game hunters. This week, I talked to someone who had to do just that.
Thank you for doing this, especially up here in Toronto. This
is yeah, kind of stoked that you guys flew me up here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
we probably have done it over Skype or something, but like,
yeah, we could have, but cool. It's nice to get you in here, seeing you one-on-one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's jump into it. I'm talking to you.
You want to talk about the incident?
Well, I would like to, yeah, absolutely. But just go ahead and say your name again real quick.
Oh, yeah, my name's Barney Francis.
Hi, Barney. And yeah, let's jump into it. Let's get into
sure.
the incident.
Yeah, this was about, I don't know, like 21 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
And I was, you know, young pup, 20 years old, first job out of high school. You know, I'd been working there for a few years. Worked in East LA in a warehouse. I'm born and raised California boy.
You're a California guy?
Yeah, totally. And so I was working in this like really cool meatpacking warehouse, you know, like slaughterhouse.
What dream?
Real rocky kind of place, you know, sides of beef.
Absolutely.
Just hanging everywhere.
I imagine you probably did the punching of the beef too.
Right? Oh yeah, like, man, I punched that. So much beef back in the day. I was like the top beef puncher in the factory.
Is that right?
Yeah, I impressed everybody. Everybody got tender beef when I was on the floor. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Yeah.
What drew you to meatpacking? I guess were they just hiring or?
I mean, I really love tacos.
Okay.
And I just scarf tacos like nobody's business, and I always like carnitas.
They're really good in California too.
Oh, dude, they're the best. I mean, bar none. L.A. has the best Mexican food you can get in the world.
When I was in college, I found a killer breakfast burrito stand on the coast.
Right?
Yeah, it was really, really
good. I know. And it's like the further north you go from L.A., the worse it gets.
Yeah.
And L.A., yeah. I'll argue that Mexico has crappy Mexican food.
In L.A., it's better?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like primo ingredients and, you know, certainly when I was working at that factory, that beef was tender. You were getting some really soft fillets. And I'm telling you that carnitas taco or burrito, whatever you're eating, it would just like melt in your mouth because of these fists.
You're punching the hell out of that beef.
Yeah, I was stacked. I was huge, bro.
So, I mean, up until the incident, had anything kind of exceptional happened in the meatpacking industry or?
No, I mean, like the only thing that would like, you know, every once in a while there'd be some stupid gang fight going on the street outside the factory. Because like in 97, we had like this crazy gang war going on, right?
Between the Colombians and the Jamaicans.
Yeah,
right?
Bro. Yeah. Colombians, like, totally messing up our zone. Jamaicans were trying to move into our territory. I think they wanted to set up some sort of, like, grow ops in some of the factories, because this is before, like, all the marijuana legalization stuff.
Right, yeah.
And, like, the Jamaicans, they just dealt some of the best weed out there, but they just needed space to grow, and, like, they wanted factory space. So they're just trying to, like, move into our area in East LA. It's, like, all factories, right? So but like the Colombians were already there and they were like selling yay like crazy.
Right.
You know, they would ship it in from Colombia and it was always in like a crate and like you'd like pop the crate open and it was just like loose coffee grinds everywhere. And you think they're just shipping coffee grinds, but if you like sweep it away just a little bit, just bags of cocaine, like tons of it.
Not even a big thick layer of coffee grinds.
It a little bit and you're like, oh, this isn't loose coffee grinds in a crate at all. This is cocaine. What the hell? I don't know why they shipped it like that. I guess it fooled people. The dogs couldn't smell it or something.
Yeah, it just seems like you just send bags of cocaine without any coffee in it at all.
I mean, if it's that's a waste of vacuum packed. Yeah, exactly. You're drying out all the oils of the beans, right? Right. It's bad enough that you're grinding them before you're brewing it.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a coffee snob. I'm sorry.
I can't imagine. No, that's okay. You got good coffee in LA too.
Oh, God, dude, the best coffee in the world.
Yeah.
We got a lot of the best in the world in LA.
I'm curious, did the cocaine affect the coffee at all?
I don't know. I always got a good buzz from it. Like, I liked it when the Colombians would like ship coffee through our factory because coffee in quotes, if you know what I mean.
Of course, it's cocaine.
It's cocaine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like if one of the bags gets snagged on a nail and just gets mixed with the coffee grinds, they don't want the coffee grinds. They just leave that in the crate. And so if you got some extra cocaine in the coffee grinds, I mean, you'd be punching a lot of beef that day, if you know what I mean.
So you got Colombians, you got Jamaicans going at it.
Yeah.
It's the hottest summer on record in 1997.
Oh, dude, 97 was a heat wave. It was nasty.
Triple digits, right?
Every day. Yeah, you could chew the air. It was super thick.
Is the Predator the last thing you're expecting to happen?
I mean, you see some weird shit in LA.
Yeah.
I'll say that. You know, if you're ever around LA on Halloween, like, it's nutty, right? But, like, that's kind of every day in LA.
Okay.
So seeing a Predator is like... First of all, you don't see him at first. He's just like kind of weird.
He's camouflaged.
And on a heat wave, it's like everything's heat wavy. You know what I mean?
Like when you can see like steam or something coming off the sidewalk or something.
Yeah. Or like it's so hot on the sidewalk you can cook an egg or like a steak. We'd cook steaks on the sidewalk at lunchtime because it was hot enough.
Oh, really?
Totally. We'd just like slice off the bottom of a beef and just like fry it right up there on the sidewalk. And it was so hot. And you just see like all these like heat waves coming off of it. So I remember the day in there punching beef. Cause it's the best way to get it to slide along the railings. Like they're all hooked on and you just got to push them around a lot.
Like a pulley system, right?
Yeah. But basically we're just air drying beef, I think. Cause we just moved it around along all these conveyors just around. I think you just need to get good air circulation around it or something.
Uh-huh.
So really all my job was to just push beef all along these tracks back and forth around the factory. Never saw them be moved out or sold or anything. They were just pushing beef around.
Same beef every day?
I guess so. I think maybe if you're on the night shift, you were like switching beefs out. I don't know. But like for me, I'm just pushing beefs back and forth the whole time. And so I would just punch the beef across the room because, you know, I'm working on my biceps and triceps.
You look good, by the way.
Thanks. I mean, 20 years later, all that muscle, it's still there.
It looks good.
Yeah. I'm an accountant now. I work with people's money.
Oh, you're not in beef anymore?
No, I got out of beef when I broke my wrists.
Did you break your wrist by punching
beef? Yeah, I was punching beef.
Okay, cool.
The someone cranked up the air, froze the beef, and then I didn't know this. Came in one morning and I like punched the beef super hard and just cracked both wrists.
That's tough.
Clean break, both wrists. My hands were just hanging off my forearms.
Oh, is that right? Well, I guess if you're going to break something, that's the kind of break you want to have.
Yeah, you want a clean break.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to fuse everything. They had to take pieces of my hip.
Oh, really?
Fuse my wrists to my forearms. They don't move. There's just straight arms.
Oh, it's just straight. You can't move your wrist at all.
Great in a bar fight, though.
Is that right? Oh, I guess so.
Because you don't want to cock your wrist when you're punching. You're going to break it. So
stronger
than ever, right?
Absolutely.
It's just an extension of the forearm now.
That's just all bone.
It's all bone.
Yeah.
It's like it'll crush a man's nose.
That's great.
Yeah.
So are you working on the day when the Predator shows up, right? And you had a couple guys die in your factory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, first this dude shows up in a cube van, and it's like all high tech and shit. And he comes in wearing this like tinfoil suit, and like all his cronies, they're all wearing these tinfoil suits. And this dude, I'll never forget it. He's got like the biggest chiclets for teeth you have ever seen, and like wild eyes. Like this dude has been doing a lot of Colombian all day or something. Like he looks mad crazy. He comes up to me. I think his name was Keys or something like that.
Yeah, Mr. Keys, yeah.
And he's all toothy and yapping at me and being like, oh, we got to set up this trap. And I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to punch some beef around here. We need to air dry these beefs.
Yeah.
And he's like, government this or special task force that. And I'm like, you're not even speaking English, bro. I don't know what you're doing. I'm just like... You know, I don't care. I'm 20 years old. Like, I don't give a fuck.
You want to punch some beef and cook some steaks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost lunch break. And he's like, okay, hombre, here's the deal. You go and slice up a steak and cook it on the sidewalk. We're going to set up a trap for this, that. And I'm like, what are you even talking about, bro? Like, why are we wasting government spending on this dude to just come in and like try and catch some pest or like some vermin?
Right.
When we've got Colombians and Jamaicans shooting themselves out on the street. Like, yeah, I've dodged bullets while cooking steaks on the sidewalk.
I can only imagine. So you're probably cooking. There's gang fights happening right in front of you, right?
Like, totally, totally. And like, if one of them has like a flamethrower or something like that, you can get like a real good char on. If you're just like, hey, dude, you're hiding behind a car or something like that. Like, here, you're holding it with tongs.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Give us a quick, hit it up.
Just kiss it, like flame kiss.
Just kiss it. Because this is pretty good beef. It's dry because it's been sitting in this factory for months being punched around. Just whack it with a quick hit of heat and you got a good sear.
Yeah.
You're good to go. You want a bit of pink in the middle when you're cooking a good steak, you know what I mean?
Well, of course. I like mine a good medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, real men eat medium rare, but I'm not judging you. You're almost a man. That's cool.
I'm getting there.
You're East Coast, though, aren't you?
I am East Coast, yeah. I'm East Coast.
I can smell it.
I'm East Coast.
Yeah.
So what's your relationship like with these Colombians and Jamaicans? I mean, do you have to pay any sort of protection tax, or do you just kind of, like you said, you've been dodging bullets cooking? What is that like? What's your relationship like with these gangs?
You know, the thing is, really lucky in LA, we have people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about it, is the best of the world come to LA.
Yeah.
And therefore we end up with the best of the best. And so we've got these Colombians, we've got these Jamaicans, and we've got a few Mexicans and some Koreans. I haven't met those gangs yet. I'm just saying our food is on point because of these gangs. They're smuggling in drugs, but they're also smuggling in spices and culinary, traditions.
Right.
And we're in Colombian territory, but I will say this. I love a good jerk chicken. I like a good roti.
Yeah.
Love a good spicy beef patty. And the ones we have in Los Angeles, they're the best you're going to find, man. Better than Jamaica.
Is it fair to say that a couple bad apples have ruined the bunch? Because just because it's Coke and coffee doesn't mean that other good things aren't coming in, right? I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
We get great fried plantains and other great Colombian food that I won't get into right now.
Yeah, there's a laundry
there's
list
so
of great
much
Colombian foods. Yeah.
Great Colombian foods.
Yeah. I would love to talk about Jamaican foods, but that list is just too long.
I would
long.
Go on forever.
Yeah.
And I will say I'm a fan of both cultures.
Of course. They're both lovely cultures.
Yeah. And I will admit that in 1997, I had dreads. I had these big ginger dreads.
Uh-huh.
And it was a bit of an odd look. But, when they're tied up in a man bun on your surfboard and you're surfing waves down by Venice.
Of course.
It's fucking rad, dude. Nowadays, you can't really get away with that. So I had them, chopped off recently because when I realized it's cultural appropriation, not appropriate. I understand that. All I'm saying is, we were in Colombian territory, but I'm a big fan of ganja, and the Jamaicans had some of the best stuff around. And, I was willing to work with both sides. And that's how you find peace, man.
Yeah,
you know,
I think so.
I'm all
yeah.
about it.
You find a common ground.
Common ground.
For any two entities that are going at
it. Yeah, it's like, bros, let's just gather around over a couple fillets of beef, and let's cook up some Mexican carnitas. Let's meet halfway through the culinary, map. Because if you look at a map of the world, Jamaica and Colombia, it's a direct line through Mexico. So it just makes sense. Let's meet over some Mexican food in Los Angeles where it's the best. And let's trade a little trade a little weed. Let's have a big party. And let's just, you sell your green, you sell your white. I'll sell my beef.
Everybody's happy.
I feel like I'm like Norway trying to like make the peace and shit.
I feel like if this Keys character would have come to you instead of setting some trap with tinfoil suits and guns, this probably would have been just a lot easier.
This hombre comes in.
Yeah.
He sets up these traps, right? And he's got all his men wearing these tinfoil suits, which, by the way, not a good idea in a heat wave.
No, not at all. I can only imagine.
They were roasting, bro. First of all, they're in like a cube van, which is black and heating up in the sunshine. Heat waves are like, it looked like there was like a village of predators on top of their stupid van.
Yeah.
So they're wearing these stupid suits, sweating their balls off, right? And they set up all these traps, and I'm out cooking my steak, and all of a sudden I hear gunfire and all this shit going down inside the factory. And I'm like, that's not supposed to happen in there. It's supposed to be on the streets. I'm like hella confused.
Yeah.
I like go into the factory. Damn near get my head taken off by this weird frisbee that's got blades on it, like a, you know, a, like a James Bond villain's like hat or something. Thing,
yeah.
But it's like an ultimate frisbee, but with blades. Fucking cutting all my beef up, slicing all of our, like, ruined our stock.
And I had been punching that beef.
Yeah, punching that beef. For months, bro.
I'd, and now
it was perfectly dry aged. It was ready for sales. And this toothy motherfucker comes in with his goofy tinfoil suits, and they just leave trails of blood and broken beef everywhere.
What's the cleanup process like? I mean, are you on the handle for that? Or like, is that,
I'm on the clock for this, bro. And so I got to clean up these bodies. And by the way, I didn't know, but the police are supposed to come and like take notes or something and look at what went on.
Yeah.
I didn't know this. I'm cleaning the factory. I'm just like, man, I want to get out here at five, man. I'm going to go see Sublime down in Long Beach. I need to fucking clean this factory so I can like see my bros play.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And so I'm pulling all the bodies. I made a pile of bodies and beef in the corner, and I'm just mopping shit up. There's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And then like dry-ish beef blood kind of congealing and stuff. And we got a lot of sawdust and then some leftover coffee grinds and cocaine, shit that just spills from some of that stuff. Also, don't really want the police coming in and like checking all this shit out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't want them to know what's going on inside there.
No, man.
The fact that they're ignoring these gangs to come in and check out some murder that happened in your place is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I know. And so, like, I got in all this fucking trouble.
So what did they do? Did you lose your job, or were you
I got arrested, bro?
You got arrested?
Yeah, for disturbing a crime scene. And they found all this like traces of cocaine, and they swept up all the cocaine that was just like deposited randomly from years of Colombian dealings in the factory, and it added up to like a couple kilos when they actually swept it all together. And I'm like, bro, there's so much coffee in that. You can't weigh that and say it's all cocaine. That's like maybe a quarter or a fifth coffee, dude. So just like take a fifth out. They wouldn't.
Right. Did you do time for this?
Yeah, I went to jail, bro. That's why I got out of the beef biz.
You got out of the beef business.
Yeah, I got my accounting degree.
In prison?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was in San Bernardino, man.
Well, how long ago did you get out?
Oh, just now.
Oh, you
Yeah, I've been in there for 20 years, bro.
You just got paroled?
That's why this is a prison podcast, right?
I mean, I guess
I thought this was
now.
A prison podcast.
No. I was
Dude, you said you want to talk about the incident. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, you were thinking of some of the drugs.
Yeah, bro.
I was talking about the Predator.
Oh,
I'm sorry for the confusion.
Wait, what is this?
I'm just kind of curious to hear your story about the Predator. I didn't know you'd been arrested for disturbing
crime.
Yeah, dude,
I just did 20 years.
How was that? We can talk about that if you want, because this changes everything.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you do to survive in prison?
Well,
imagine having wrists fused to your arm bones
like
out a lot.
I was able to defend myself quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm now married to a man. So that's new. It's a life change I wasn't expecting, but I'm totally in support of it, and it's now legal in California. So
did you get married
totally
in
happy
prison?
With that? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when they finally made it legal, I was like, okay, Bubba, let's do this. Let's make it a fish. And you know, I liked him, so I put a ring on it. And you know, I'm really proud of that. And life is pretty golden now. He's not out yet.
Oh, he's still inside?
Yeah, he's on death row, so he's not gonna make it. But you know, they have a conjugal visits trailer, and you know,
well, that's great.
Yeah, we still get intimate, and we keep in touch. I smuggled in a cell phone. Don't ask me how, and we text.
Well, it sounds like aside from this Predator stuff and going to prison for 21 years or however long you're in jail, you're doing okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny the directions life takes you.
Yeah,
but, you know, to quote Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
It sure does, Barney. It sure does.
Yeah.
Wow, this is great. I've learned so much about you in the last 2 minutes. This is really remarkable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would have talked more about the Predator because I fought him at one point, but
you did?
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Well, we're out of time.
Oh crap. We had a really good fight.
Oh well,
because like with all the punching and everything.
Yeah, with the arms.
Yeah. Oh well, you know, another time maybe.
Would you come back at some point and talk about it?
Yeah, I'm a free man. Do you have any taxes you need done?
Yeah, I have some taxes that need to be done.
Great, because I actually haven't done anyone's taxes yet. Like, I'm just looking for my first job, but I am a trained accountant by DeVry Institute.
Great.
Online through the prison website. And you know, I think it's my chance to get back at the government by fucking them over with your taxes, bro.
Man, I really want to know more about it. This is really remarkable. Barney, we got to go, but thanks for coming by.
Yeah, sorry about that mix-up, bro.
That's okay.
Been smoking ganja ever since I got out of jail.
Today?
Legally, yeah.
Well, let's go. All right. Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah. What do we eat for snacks around here in Toronto?
There's like a pizza place right up the corner we can go to.
Yeah.
You like pizza?
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay, well, let's go.
It's a bit East Coast, but yeah.
Let's go get some pizza.
All right, cool.
All right, man.
Thank you for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show is produced by myself and Nate DeFort, with editing done by Nate DeFort. Our original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson. And our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. Barney Francis was played by Christian Bruin. You can catch Christian on Twitter at TheBruin. That's T-H-E-B-R-U-U-N. You can also catch him on Instagram at Bonnie Castle. And check your local listings, because this spring you can catch Christian alongside Jerry O'Connell in the detective series Carter. Here are some free and easy ways you can support us that will have a huge impact on the show. If you're listening in a podcast player, make sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review for us. You can follow us on Facebook, and we're also on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. If you like this week's episode, tweet about us. Facebook about us, Instagram about us. Hell, if you're still on MySpace, do that too. Now, if you're a big fan of My Neighbors Are Dead and you want all kinds of extra stuff like swag, extra content, and updates on upcoming news and events, you can donate to the show by going to patreon.com/My Neighbors Are Dead. My Neighbors Are Dead is taking part in a great campaign called Two Pods a Day. It aims to introduce podcast listeners to two independent podcasts every day for the months of January and February. We hope to give visibility to some great indie podcasts that you probably haven't heard of. Two Pods a Day encourages you to listen more, listen indie. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Oh, and also, Sinbad, if you're listening, hit us up on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors.